My dearly beloved in Christ, we have this morning two parables. The better known of the two, the first one, is that of the mustard seed, which, when it grows up, becomes a plant so large that it is like a tree. And our Lord says it's the smallest of all seeds, and yet it blossoms into this tree, so much so that the birds of the air come and dwell in the branches. The other is a parable of leaven, which is similar, how a small amount of leaven serves to cause the entire mass of dough to expand. So what are we to take from this gospel, from these parables, these lessons? How something small can become something very great. Of course, a lot of scriptural commentators apply the mustard seed to the church. How our Lord established the church in Jerusalem, the coming of the Holy Ghost upon the apostles, a very small band of men, 12 men, and then they went forth and spread the gospel throughout the world, as the Lord had commanded them, and how the church has grown down through the centuries, so many thousands, millions of souls in the church over the years. So that is one application. But I would like to apply it to the growth of the grace of God in our souls. So mustard seed begins, or really any seed. We think of all of the variety of plants, vegetation, how it begins with a seed that's very small and then grows up and produces fruit. So the mustard seed is very small, just like the grace of God in our souls. When we were baptized, we received sanctifying grace for the first time. And of course, we cannot see the life of grace in our soul or in that of others. But it is our duty to nurture that life of grace, to cause it to grow, to expand, like the leaven or the growth of the mustard seed. And how do we do that? How does the life of grace in us grow? First, from the reception of the sacraments. Nothing equals the value of the sacraments. Also, from our prayer life. Every time we pray, we say our rosaries, we say our other prayers. Good works, but also, and very importantly, carrying the cross with patience for the love of God. This is a way of causing the life of grace in the soul to expand and to grow. Can you imagine? Think of the great saints. Today we have Saint Elizabeth of Hungary. And in the lives of these saints, how the grace of God in them was so well cooperated with, they profited so much from the grace of God that it grew in their souls and became a great amount of grace. So we want to imitate the saints in that. We want the life of grace to grow in our souls. And this is another important aspect of the life of grace, and that is that the more sanctifying grace we have in our soul, the less likely it is that we will fall into a serious sin. The more the life of God in our souls grows, the more grace we have, the less likely it is that we will commit a mortal sin. And of course, that will determine our reward in heaven. The more grace, the higher our place in heaven. So we want to foster this life of grace. We want that little mustard seed of the grace we received at baptism to continue to grow and expand throughout our lives up until our dying breath. And I mentioned the sacraments, prayer, good works, but carrying the cross, bearing our cross, is a very good way to nurture that life of grace, to receive an increase of grace. St. Louis Marie de Montfort wrote a wonderful booklet called Friends of the Cross, in which he explains how to carry the cross. Because we all have crosses every day. How do we bear the cross? Do we bear it with complaint, with a bad attitude, feeling sorry for ourselves? Or do we think of our Lord and imitate him and carry our cross? You know, this is one important thing the spiritual writers say, And that is when you choose to perform a penance. For the love of God, you make a sacrifice. You choose to give up something you like, to do something that's mortifying. That's very good. That's very productive of grace. But it is not nearly so beneficial as carrying the crosses that God sends us. Can you imagine someone who does penance, who takes upon himself some sacrifices, does some fasting, whatever, of his own free will, doesn't have to do so, and he does so because he knows it is good for the soul, but then an inconvenience occurs. A cross comes in his path, and he complains and frets, and is rebelling under that the hand of God that sends the cross. So the greatest crosses are the ones we didn't choose. The ones that are most beneficial are the ones that God sends us or permits to come to our path. Now, St. Louis de Montfort in this book gives what he calls the 14 rules for carrying one's cross. And I want to read part of the 11th rule. And he says here, for proper suffering, form the pious habit of considering four things. And these four things are, first of all, the eye of God. Second, the hand of God. Third, the passion of our Lord. And fourth, the crown that awaits us in heaven. It says, when you have to suffer, think of those four things and it'll help you to suffer properly. So let's go into them in a bit more detail. First, the eye of God. God is like a great king who from the height of a tower observes with satisfaction his soldier in the midst of the battle and praises his valor. So God takes pleasure in his servants carrying their crosses. He is watching us, watching over us. So that thought helps us, strengthens us. Remember how Almighty God said to Satan, have you observed my servant Job? How faithful he is to me, how pleasing he is to me, etc. So you can see that God takes pleasure in his faithful ones that carry their cross without complaint. So consider the eye of God, that he beholds us. Second, the hand of God. Every disorder in nature, from the greatest to the smallest, is the work of his almighty hand. The hand that devastates an army of 100,000 will make a leaf drop from the tree or a hair fall from your head. The hand that was laid so heavily upon Job is particularly light when it touches you with some little trial. This hand fashions day and night, sun and darkness, good and evil. God permits the sin that provokes you. He is not the cause of its malice, although he does allow the act. He allows it because he has given all human beings free will. And so having given us free will, he permits even sin. And so we should profit from everything that God permits to come in our path. The third point, the passion, he says here, consider the wounds and sorrows of our crucified Jesus. Hear what he himself has to say. All ye that pass along the thorny and crucifying way I had to follow, look and see, look with the eyes of your body, look with the eye of contemplation, and see if your poverty, nakedness, disgrace, sorrow, desolation are like unto mine. Behold me innocent as I am. Then will you complain, you who are guilty? That's something to think about when we have a cross. I have offended our Lord. He was perfectly innocent, and look at how much he suffered. Will I complain of the little things I have to suffer when I have offended him and I deserve to suffer? And furthermore, we reflect during November, especially on purgatory, I want to do my purgatory time here in this world rather than in the next. And one of the ways to do so is carrying the cross that God permits to come our way. So that's the third point. Again, remember the eye of God, that he beholds us, the hand of God, that he permits whatever comes our way, Call to mind his passion and death. And then fourth, lift up your eyes, behold the beautiful crown that awaits you in heaven if you carry your cross as you should. And let's examine our conscience and ask yourself, is it not true that when something goes wrong during the day, I get upset? I maybe say something I shouldn't. I become impatient. Those around me can see it. I'm not resigned to what God has permitted. So patience. You know, our Lord said, he that is faithful in that which is least will be faithful in that which is greater. And if the little pinpricks, the little inconveniences that come our way each day, if we can bear them with patience, then when a bigger cross comes our way, we are more likely to carry that cross meritoriously. So again, keep in mind that the grace of God, which we received, like that mustard seed at our baptism, should and certainly can grow and blossom into a wonderful spiritual life if we cooperate with God's grace, if we carry our crosses as we should. Right now, in the seminary, we've been reading that big, thick book on the life of the Kyrie of ours. And one passage that has always struck me in that book is that a man was visiting ours, a visitor from another city, another town. And as he was coming into the village of ours, he happened to notice three men who were herding a group of cows from one field to another, but they had to cross a little muddy stream. And it was springtime, so it was very wet and muddy. And as they were going across through this stream, one of the cows got stuck in the mud. Now, you can imagine that for these peasants, a great deal of their wealth, their possessions, was in their domestic animals. So to lose this animal would be a heavy blow to these men. And this visitor, who was not observed by the men, was watching them. Here this animal was stuck. And he was very surprised that there were no bad words said. There was no expression of anger or frustration. They all pitched in immediately and helped that animal and extricated the animal from the mud. But again, how they handled that cross. You see, St. John Marie Vianney was visited from people all over who wanted to go to confession. But especially his own people took to heart his sermons, his teaching, and sanctified themselves. Some people even sort of ridiculed the people of ours, visitors, and said, you're all going to be like monks if you listen to everything that your pastor tells you. And they said, well, he's a saint, and so we should do what he tells us. But again, you see the example in these three men whose animal was, you know, in danger of being lost, and how they didn't react with anger, with impatience. How do you act? How do we react when something happens that is frustrating, that is uncomfortable, etc.? Let us strive for patience in the little things, realizing that by doing so, we are growing in grace. That beautiful life of grace within us is growing moment by moment, day by day, as we carry our cross, as we are faithful to our prayer lives, as we fulfill our daily duties, and receive, above all, the sacraments. So that life of grace becomes like the mustard seed growing into a great tree. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.